Hello, everybody. This is Brother Darren giving you a weekly update. Here we are, February already, and we'll be thinking about what's coming up here in a couple of Sundays with Valentine's Day. And I want to encourage you, always remember that the greatest Valentine the world has ever seen was the gift of God's love, and that came in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. Valentine's Day is on Sunday, so guys, just want to put that little seed in the back of your mind. Don't forget, be a special time to take out your wife, your daughter, your mother, and make sure that that is a special day after you come to church or view us online. And so just want to remind you of that. You know, I was thinking about a lot of our brothers and sisters, especially on the coast, the West Coast and the East Coast, haven't been able to meet and gather as a fellowship of believers, and they really miss the congregational singing and gathering together and seeing one another's faces. So we don't take that for granted here at Red House. And if you're physically able, we encourage you to come and be a part. Wear your mask in and out, but we encourage you to come. We do have a mask-only service in the gym, and so you're invited to come participate in that. But for the Sunday school classes that are meeting, I'm just grateful for them that have been so faithful. We got about 3 adult classes, and Linda's led the children and the workers there. I just want to thank them for their commitment to provide God's Word and to minister God's Word to one another. One of our functions as a church is that not only do we want to exalt Christ, but we want to equip the saints. And to do that, you have to be present, Bible open, studying together, questioning together as far as answering each other's questions. And, you know, what does this truth mean to our current application? How do we take God's infallible, inerrant word, and how do we take it and place it in our context without altering the original meaning of the text? And so all those things are so important in Sunday school, and plus just, you know, caring for one another, attending to one another's needs, being aware of the needs that we have in our church, ongoing health needs, and those who are experiencing sorrow. And speaking of that, got a call this morning, and it was a sad but happy call. Many of you know Linda Coulter, and she's been here for over 3 decades. And I was introduced to Linda when I first came to Red House Baptist Church almost 8 years ago as the part-time college student that never left. And so she's been directing our children for these 30-something odd years. But her dad, bless his heart, Charles Williams, went home to be with the Lord about 1 o'clock this morning. And so our thoughts and our prayers are with Miss Linda and with her mom and her family. And we want to reach out and love on her. And, you know, we thank God. It's like Linda said this morning, you know, she said, my daddy was 90 years old, and 80 of those years he walked with Jesus. And so there's no fear, and there's no great sorrow at where he's at, because we know that he is in the presence of the Lord. And that's one of the things I got to thinking about. The last year has been very hard on a lot of us, and a lot of you who are watching this, you have family members or friends that you haven't been able to see, haven't been able to physically contact and hug. You miss those opportunities to go visit, especially if your relatives are out of state, or if they're older, or if they have any physical conditions that keep them from being around people because they may be susceptible to the COVID 19. And so the pictures and the stories I've seen of people trying to say goodbye to a loved one in a nursing home through a window, or being told, I'm sorry, but you can't see your loved one, and not able to say goodbye, not able to even have a phone call. Just very tragic and very sad. We do live in a sin-soaked world. Sin has stained every fiber of our existence, and we see that magnified during this COVID-19. But there is hope, and there is encouragement, and that's one of the reasons why I tell you, you have to go to the Word of God, and the Word of God is our source of strength, our source of hope. And with Linda's dad passing, Brother Charles, I just want to share some thoughts about Psalm 23. I know that they've already made arrangements, and I know that there are ministers from his church that are going to conduct a service, and it's going to be a celebration of life. But But I just want to say to any of us who have lost loved ones recently, or we may be losing loved ones in the future, we're all going to face the valley of the shadow of death at some point. It's better to be prepared for it before you get to that point. And so I just want to remind you of some things that hopefully will bring you a sense of comfort and peace and encouragement. You know, Psalm 23 has been called the pearl of the Psalms. Many of you know it as the Shepherd's Psalm. Oftentimes it's read, I've read it hundreds of times, at the bedside of someone who is sick or about to go into surgery and they don't know if they're going to make it out of surgery. I have read this at hundreds of gravesides. And the reason is because it really is the pearl of the Psalms. It brings hope, it brings beauty, it brings peace, and it brings assurance to the heart and life of a believer because we see God as our shepherd. And so it just helps us so much. It starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's so important. He's my shepherd. That shows a personal relationship. It shows that you are one of his sheep. You're part of his family, his flock. So the Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I lack. And you know, I just got to thinking about this. People who have never bowed their knee and opened their heart and yielded to the lordship of Christ, they cannot call God their shepherd. You know, the old secular idea that I'm the captain of my own fate and the captain of my own ship. If that's where you're at, then you're in a very lonely, precarious situation. You want to be in the fold of God's sheep. You want to be a part of his flock. You want to know that God is your shepherd. And it says, there's nothing I will lack, because when God is your shepherd, he perfectly satisfies not necessarily all that you want, but he satisfies all that you need. So he provides us rest. It says he lets me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the quiet or still waters. You know, God really does bring us refreshment to our soul. How many people, let's just be honest, I read an article last week that was talking about how many pastors are either getting fired or resigning because they're just tired. They can't meet the expectations that people have. They have people who are upset and they have more time to think, and they're able to listen to some really, really super incredible pastor on podcasts and then wonder why their little old pastor doesn't measure up. It's easy to get discouraged and downcast, but you know what God says? When he's our shepherd, you know what he does? He brings us refreshment. He leads us beside the quiet waters. And verse 3 says, he renews my life. I don't know about you, but I needed my life renewed at a point in time after I'd gone through a rebellious spell. I needed my life to have some vitality breathed back into it through the water of his word to refresh me and to bring my soul back to life when I'd gone through a dry patch. And it says he leads me along the right paths. You know, his regulations are there for our benefit. Benita and I, when we got married, you know, I didn't have any money, didn't have much sense. And so what little money I had, I thought I was being really good to take her on a honeymoon to Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Now, have you ever been to Eureka Springs, Arkansas? One of the most impressive things about that trip was the little cottages and all the neat little things to do around that little tourist trap area. But the guardrails going up and down those mountains. I was in a little Honda CRX. And I'm telling you, you were grateful that those guardrails were there because there were some very, very steep cliffs that you could easily go off of. You know, God's righteousness, God's rules, God's boundaries are there for our protection and for our benefit. And I'm grateful for them and that God gives us regulations in order that he might lead us in the right way. And he wants to lead us in the right way for his name's sake. Our life is here to give him glory. Then it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no danger, for you are with me. Now, I'm thinking about that because most of us associate that with, you know, that long trek home. Linda's daddy made that trek home probably about 12, 14 hours ago. But, you know, for a believer, we've been promised, according to Jesus in the New Testament and according to Psalms 116, that God loves the death of his saints, that precious in the sight, his sight is the death of his saints. Why? Charles Spurgeon said it's as if God comes down And it's as if God superintends the very last moments of one of his people's life. And it's like he fluffs the pillow and smooths the bed and gathers them in his arms to escort them home. I never will forget that whenever I was a kid, we lived in Iowa and we would travel to Kentucky, and I would get the hand-me-downs from my cousins in the UK sweatshirts. And I was the only kid in Iowa that had a hand-me-down UK stuff. And sometimes we'd be traveling back and it'd be late at night. And I don't know how, but somehow I wound up in my own bed. When I woke up, I was in my own bed. The last thing I remember was being in the back seat of that Pontiac car. But Dad had picked me up, carried me in the house, took off my shoes, and slid me into bed. And I woke up at home in my own bed. You know what it's like for a believer when you walk that last stretch of life here on earth? It's like you go to sleep in your Father's arms and you wake up home where you belong. You wake up in paradise. And that's what it's going to be like. And so when he says, I will fear no danger, it's because Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, our great shepherd, he's taken the sting of death out of death. We no longer have to fear it. Just like a bee that has its stinger removed, you no longer have to fear that bee. He's taking the sting out of death. And then when he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's a picture where God, he protects us and he counts us, and our life has meaning and measurement. He uses the rod at times to instruct us. Some might say punish us, but other times it's used to count us. He uses the staff to guide us and rescue us when we fall down into a crevice, and he'll take that staff, turn it around, and hook it under us and pull us up to safety. We have no idea how many times God has rescued us from perilous situations, and he has been our good shepherd to rescue us and bring us perfect comfort and safety. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, there's a great picture there of the reception that awaits us as believers. I truly, honestly believe that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and that we'll be reunited and reacquainted with those who've gone before us. The first person we'll want to greet, I think, will be the Lord himself. And then we'll want to be greeted by and greet those who are our loved ones and friends and family members that I believe we will recognize once we're joining them. And then he says here that you anoint my head with oil. That's a picture of perfect consecration, a picture of the Holy Spirit, a picture of his anointing, and my cup will overflow. It's a picture of joy. It's like your cup runneth over. It's like having a saucer, and it catches all the goodness that overflows that cup, and you can still catch the goodness. There's not a drop of it. It's going to be wasted or gone. And so verse 6 says, only goodness and mercy, or only goodness and faithful love, will follow me all the days of my life. And it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But this tells me is this. Some of us realize that God loves us so much that he's like, he sends the two hounds of heaven, grace and mercy, to chase after us. How many people have I heard in their testimonies? I ran from God. God wanted me to do this, but I ran from God. I ran from God. I ran from salvation, ran from his calling, but his grace and his mercy hunted me down and captured me, and I yielded finally to God's amazing love, and he captured my heart. Well, that's what David is saying here. Only goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. It's the picture of the hounds of heaven pursuing and chasing after its prey. And you're going to be a trophy. You're going to be a trophy for God in heaven or a trophy for the devil in Hades. But you are valuable, and you're going to be a trophy for somebody. David said that all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. The idea here is we want to reside with God in heaven. We want to be where God is. And as long as I live in eternity, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. And part of the great time of rejoicing and joy and fulfillment is going to be knowing that I'm going to be a part of the eternal heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. And so when David said, that I'm going to get to enjoy. I'm going to get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. What a great picture. What a great promise. What a great delight. And for those of you who have loved ones that sooner possibly than later will be approaching death's door, encourage them with these words. Remind them of the shepherd's psalm. Remind them that if they are God's child, that God will take them by the hand and he will comfort them, he will restore them, he will refresh them, and he will carry them from the bedside here to the paradise side there. I don't know about you, but if they're using gold for asphalt in heaven, it's going to be a pretty spectacular place. And the greatest thing about heaven is not going to be the pearly gate, although that's awesome. It's not going to be the streets of gold, although I can't imagine. It's not going to be the amazing jewels and all the great Bible characters and all of our heroes and even our loved ones. The greatest thing about heaven is going to be Jesus, and that we get to embrace him, bow before him, thank him for the great sacrifice he made on the cross, and the fact that he came to this earth born of a virgin in order that he might grow to become our great shepherd, to lead his flock, lead his people home. And I pray that you have already made arrangements and that you have a home in heaven awaiting you. Well, just some thoughts that were running through my mind. And do pray for Linda and pray for others in our church family that are facing some bad news. And pray that we will be faithful and that we will turn to the shepherd of our souls to lead us through every dark valley we may encounter. And our God will light the way. Our God will take us by the hand. Our God will protect us with his staff. And he will correct us with his rod. And he will lead us safely home. Dear friend, the greatest thing I can do to encourage you is follow God. Follow his path of righteousness. Live for his namesake, his glory. And trust the shepherd to lead you all the way home to heaven. And I pray that that's what you're looking forward to. Well, God bless you. I hope to see you this Sunday. Again, if your Sunday school class is meeting 9:15, if not, I encourage you to stay in contact with each other. Be here if you can for our worship service at 10:45. And I just pray that the Lord will bless you and make his face shine upon you both today and forevermore. God bless.